Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And we have to agree that not only must we end this war, but we have to have a goal of a two-state solution, because there must be stability and peace in that region, in as much as what we do in our goal is to ensure that Israelis have security and Palestinians in equal measure have security, have self-determination and dignity.
Yes, she confused region for reason. Who cares? That's just a minor verbal tick. Yes, she is once again demonstrating her ability to speak like Captain Kirk and to add extra portions to the sentence after she figures out that she hasn't yet said what she intends to say on this important topic before she quits talking to answer another question. But put all that aside. Okay, listen past that. Her answer on Israel is, well, we gotta. Her answer on Israel, she says, two-state solution, security and stability in the region, Israel security, Palestinian security, equality, dignity, and self-determination. That's what she says. And a really good question in response to that is, cool, cool, cool. How? Right? There's this old expression in business. I can make the thing better, faster, cheaper. Pick two. Right? The thing you want me to build, I can make it for you better, faster, or cheaper. Pick two. You can't do all three. What she's saying here is better, faster, and cheaper. No problem. She's just stating aspirations. But if you take an aspiration and you state it emphatically enough and nobody knows any better, then all of a sudden it sounds like a policy. But a policy of objectives that everybody, maybe the two-state solution not everybody agrees with, but otherwise there's no objection to any of these objectives. The question is, how are you going to get there? And so they asked, the National Association of Black Journalists asked very good specific questions.
A question for you on that, though. What levers does the U.S. have to support Palestinians in their right to self-determination? And is it even possible as Israel's ally?
Great question. What's your lever? What's your source of power? What can you use? What's your tool? Right? What are you going to do that your administration hasn't already done to fix all this?
Well, absolutely. I will tell you, I have been actively involved in, for example, meeting not only with Israeli officials, but with Arab officials to talk about how we can construct a day after scenario where we participate in ensuring those exact goals that I outlined.
We've been talking. That's her answer. We've been talking. Okay. Well, that's not what you were asked. What levers, what policy change, what source of coercion, carrot or stick, do you have? Well, we've been talking real good. Real good talk. My problem with this interview, and I don't want to say I'm concerned, but what I expect to become a pattern is watching Kamala Harris get asked smart questions to which she gives dumb answers or not answers at all. Because all she's going to do and throughout the course of this whole section of the interview is what she did throughout the rest of the whole thing. I have my talking points. I'm going to repeat my talking points. Good message discipline. I mean, Trump has no message discipline whatsoever. But at least when he rambles, sometimes you learn things. Of course, sometimes he just makes things up. But she doesn't ramble. She word salads real good. but she doesn't ramble, but she just keeps repeating the same nonsense.
Including as part of the principles that should be applied to those goals, that there be no reoccupation of Gaza, that there be no changing of the territorial lines in Gaza, that there be an ability to have security in the region for all concerned in a way that we create stability, and let us also recognize in a way that ensures that Iran is not empowered in this whole scenario in terms of the peace and stability of the region. But absolutely, the United States of America absolutely has a role, which is why we have been active, in particular with the Qataris and the Egyptians, around attempting to get a deal done and get it done as quickly as possible.
Great. All aspirational. Not a single bit of policy there. And she was asked, what levers do you have? And her answer is, oh, we absolutely have levers. We can do a ton. America has a role. Fantastic. But what, we don't know what the levers are. We're discovering them in the future. We've used them, but they don't work. We haven't used them and we're gonna. Those are the questions that she is not answering. And we'll come back to this. This actually gets worse for her in just a moment. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling southbound on, Fairfield. Nope, North Palafox Street. If you're traveling from Fairfield southbound, you're going to see some major delays all the way down to Cervantes. So just pack your patience with that one. Other than that, traffic's flowing good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. I think part of the strategy here is I will just repeat my talking points long enough that eventually you get tired of asking me. And for the people who maybe don't know the issues very well, this sounds like wisdom. Oh, yeah, you know, no change to the borders and no occupation of Gaza and everybody's got a right to self-defense and self-determination. Yeah, yeah, those are good things to say, right? The durr. This is second grade level knowledge about the Middle East. None of this is interesting. So Eugene Daniels comes in. He's one of the three people doing the interviewing for the National Association of Black Journalists. He's a White House press correspondent for Politico, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so he asks again.
Madam Vice President, just to follow up really quickly, is there a specific policy change that you, as President of the United States, would say you would do that would help this along? Because, you know, you've gotten a lot of credit for emphasizing the humanity of Palestinians. Mm-hmm. But what I often hear from folks is that there's no policy change that would that either you or the President, President Biden, have gone and said they would do. Is there a specific policy change as President that you would do in our helping of Israel?
We need to get this deal done, and we need to get it done immediately, and that is my position, and that is my policy. We need to get this deal done.
My position and my policy is to repeat the answer I already gave to you, which is we're going to get this deal done. But how, ma'am? Because we'd have to get we're going to get this deal done. How? Exactly. Because the deal is everything. We've got to get this deal done. I mean, he's doing his job. He is following up and asking a very specific question. Do you have any specific policy proposals that you want to do that are different from, you know, everything else that you've tried so far? And she just will not answer. And he tries again.
In the way that we send weapons, in the way that we interact as their ally, are there specific policy changes?
Well, Eugene, for example, one of the things that we have done that I am entirely supportive of is the pause that we've put on the 2000 pound bombs.
Temporarily one time.
And so there is some leverage that we have had and used. But ultimately, the thing that is going to unlock everything else in that region is getting this deal done.
We have to get it done.
And I'm not going to disclose private conversations, but I will tell you, I've had direct conversations with the Prime Minister, with the president of Israel, with Egyptian leaders, and with our allies. And I think we've made ourselves very clear this deal needs to get done in the best interest of everyone in the region, including getting those hostages out who, I mean, we saw the latest example of what happened with the six most recently, one of whom was an American citizen.
Repeating the goal is not an answer. Just saying it over and over again, we got to get a deal done, got to get the hostages out, got to get a ceasefire, got to create peace in the Middle East and stability and wonderful and apple pie and everybody happy, is not an answer to the question. So to his great credit, Oh, and by the way, one of the things, when people aren't going to answer a question, what they often do, and this is her strategy, she's actually quite good at it, is if you're not going to answer the question, tell a good story. Tell a compelling story about the tragedy befalling the individuals. Tell a good story about, you know, later when she's asked about restoring Roe v. Wade and the restrictions that Roe v. Wade allowed on third trimester abortion, she's not going to answer that question. So tell a good story about, you know, horrible things that happen to women who get illegal abortions. If you pay attention, that's what happens. She doesn't have an answer. Tell a good story. That's why he brings up the point about you've been given credit for raising awareness of the sympathy for the plight of the Gazans. Okay, fine. But her answer here was, well, I've talked to him real good. Like, it's not an answer. So again, Eugene Daniels tries a third time, or maybe a fourth time. I actually lost count how many times. I think this might have been the fourth time.
But what do you say to those that say that's not enough, that stopping the 2,000-pound bombs the one time wasn't enough, that this administration, your possible administration, has to do more?
Well, we are doing the work of putting the pressure on all parties involved to get the deal done.
You're doing it right now.
But let me be very clear also. I support Israel's ability to defend itself.
Of course.
And I support the need for Palestinians to have dignity, self-determination, and security.
You already said that.
As we move forward and get a two-state deal done. But right now, the thing we need to get done is this hostage deal and this ceasefire deal. We need a ceasefire. We need the hostage deal.
Oh, my God. Spin the wheel of talking points and produce me a Dilbert-like, you know, mission statement that tells me the same thing you've already said four times. Now, here's where this actually gets very interesting, because that was the pattern throughout the session that she had with the National Association of Black Journalists. Don't answer. Repeat. Okay? Maybe it's smart. Maybe Americans don't get it. Maybe Americans won't care. Maybe Americans would rather take bland, boring, repetitive, and uninformed over Trump's rambling rampages. I don't know. You know, time will tell in the election. But here's where this gets really interesting. Hillary Clinton and apparently the campaign are now taking the approach that asking specific policy questions and demanding to have policy answers is sexist. This is her talking on CNN with Kara Swisher.
She does not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, she's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She right. referenced policies. Mm-hmm. She actually doesn't just have policies and concepts. She has, you know, plans about what to do.
So she doesn't have to answer these dumb questions. She's put out policies. Stop asking her these questions. It's not fair. And by the way, it's sexist.
I think it's a, you know, it's a double standard, and it's a double standard that is partly because they are still getting to know her, but also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander in chief?
How dare you? You sexist man. How dare you ask her policy questions repeatedly? So rude. So double standard. This is all about people aren't willing to elect a female commander-in-chief. And by the way, one of the other, I don't have the quote from it, but one of the other things that Hillary said in that interview was, it's particularly true, let's just say it and underline it, about white women voters. So it's sexist and racist to demand policy answers to her of her long, rambling explanations of things that use the words that she's been told to say again and again and again. So not only is she not going to answer, but now they're going to go on attack against anybody who asks her. It's, what is the line from Dodgeball? It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it works for him. 6:24 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you're 64, turning 65, or you're retiring and you're going to switch over onto Medicare, great. Okay, great. But it's unfamiliar. It can produce a little bit of apprehension. Maybe people are calling you. Maybe you're getting emails or letters, and it can kind of seem like a scary thing, and you're not quite sure what to do, and you've got questions about Medicare Advantage and supplement and prescription drugs and Medicaid. Does that even apply to me? Great. Good questions. They have easy answers, and my good friend Ricky Stewart has those answers. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one part that she does, And so many of you, our listeners, have called her and talked with her and sat down and handled this transition. If I were 64 or retiring, I would be calling her because this is exactly what she does, and I know she does a great job of it. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on Highway 29 between 10 Mile and 9 Mile Road, expect some slowdowns there as we're seeing traffic starting to back up. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Quickly as you can, snatch the pebble from my hand.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed.
Oh my God. I find social media kind of disappointing a lot of the time. But every once in a while, you do find a gem or two. And this one, it made me... John, can you confirm that this... Whatever I'm about to tell you made me cackle?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you ready? Ready? This is... I follow a couple of these Gen X groups. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, they're right in the center of my own sense of humor, generally speaking. White Claw. You ever had a White Claw? Have you ever had a White Claw? David, have you ever had a White Claw?
I have.
Okay, all right. You ready? White Claw... tastes like you're drinking TV static while someone screams the name of a fruit from another room. That is the perfect description. Mm-hmm. David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
Well, the Teamsters Union says they won't be endorsing a presidential candidate this election cycle. Teamsters President Sean O'Brien issued a statement yesterday that said neither major candidate was able to make commitments to their union. Federal officials warning that a drop in vaccinations may have led to an increase in flu deaths among kids. The CDC said on Wednesday nearly 200 children died from flu-related illnesses during the most recent flu season, and said that a lot of those kids, unfortunately, did not get the flu vaccine. European astronomers say Elon Musk's Starlink satellites are now blocking their view of the universe. Researchers at the Netherlands Institute for Radio Astronomy tell BBC News that the new generation of Starlink satellites are interfering with their radio telescopes.
Hmm. Okay. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:30 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody texts in, Andrew, it's hard to broker a peace deal when one side believes that the only outcome that's allowable is the eradication of the other side. Oh, yeah, no, agreed. That's why to just continually say the same word salad again is not a policy.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Vice President Harris takes the lead by 2 points over former President Trump in the new Fox News poll, 50 to 48 nationally.
Just over half of independents say they support the vice president, and 55% of Hispanics do. While the poll found 21% of non-MAGA identifying Republicans will not vote for the former president, he now has 29% support among black voters.
That's Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. 21 deaths are reported, more than 3,000 people injured in 2 days of Hezbollah fighters' electronic devices exploding in Lebanon. Pagers and walkie-talkies secretly manufactured and booby-trapped by Israeli intelligence.
The head of Hezbollah's executive council promised that Israel is in for a, quote, special punishment, but it looks like it's Israel mostly on the offensive. The Israeli Air Force hit several targets in southern Lebanon, including what the IDF says was a weapons storage facility.
Fox's Mike Towen. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Two Escambia County public school employees have been suspended after a student was found hiding in their apartment. The school board voted on Tuesday to suspend Ariel Rice and Ashley Anderson without pay. They were arrested on September 1st. The two were hiding a 14-year-old female student in their apartment because they thought she was being abused. They wanted to protect her. DCF is investigating the abuse claims, but Rice and Anderson are charged with interfering with the custody of a minor. An arraignment is set in that case for tomorrow. Police in Flomaton looking for a man suspected of assault and attempted robbery. Police say they're looking for Christopher Moody. He's accused of attacking and trying to rob a woman near Railroad Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Flomaton there on Tuesday. Moody wanted on felony warrants. If you have information, contact the Flomaton police. Today, a pivotal day for the American Magic sailing team. They are down one in the America's Cup semifinals. They need to win twice today to advance to the finals. If you don't understand the America's Cup, Mayor D.C. Reeves is here with this explanation.
Super Bowl winner in the NFL was automatically in the next Super Bowl. They got to pick where it is. They got to pick the size of the football, how many yards for a first down. That's basically the America's Cup for New Zealand. So when you win, you're the defender. You get to decide everything.
Okay.
So there's four teams battling out to be the challenger to New Zealand. So we're in semifinals right now.
And Reeves says the Magic do have a road ahead of them still to battle back from, but they are still alive. Now, they did secure two wins yesterday. They race Italy twice again today. If they win those two races today, they would go on to the finals. If they win the finals, then they would take on New Zealand, who's the defending champion. The Federal Reserve announcing a half-point rate cut yesterday. University of Central Florida economist Dr. Sean Snaith thinks it might be just a bit too aggressive.
I think a half point is an aggressive start to this cycle of easing monetary policy, especially when, you know, we haven't achieved the inflation target yet.
Dr. Snaith says the move suggests the central bank is more concerned about a recession than it is inflation taking off again. Marco Rubio wonders if Iran may have had something to do with the recent attempts on Donald Trump's life. Senator Rubio was on Fox News last night to discuss the assassination attempt, the most recent, of course, taking place this last weekend in Palm Beach County. Rubio says Iran has openly said it intends to assassinate Trump, and he says you can't rule out the possibility that they would hire a criminal organization or even a whack job to do something like that. Rubio also criticized the Biden administration for negotiating with Iran over a nuclear deal in the midst of all of that. A 53-year-old man charged with trying to kidnap two children in Escambia County last Saturday. Deputies say the kids were playing near the entrance to a trailer park at Flaxman and 57th when George Carpenter Jr. approached them, offered a 6-year-old girl candy. He's then alleged to have grabbed that girl by the arm, but she did get away. The girl's 8-year-old brother told the man she didn't want his treats. Deputies say he then grabbed the boy by the arm, but he also got away. Carpenter Jr. was later located nearby at a homeless camp. He remains in jail on $401,000 bond. It's 6:35. News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Allstate. Some people just know you could save money on car insurance by checking Allstate first. So what are you waiting for? Check Allstate first for a quote today. You're in good hands with Allstate. We've got an accident that was called in 98 eastbound as you're rolling into Navarre in Coral Street. The left lane is closed and they are pushing traffic to the right lane. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have plenty of sunshine today with a high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping the sunny forecast around for that Friday, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Sunshine through the weekend, high on Saturday near 88, low near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now we've got 70 degrees in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Reserve has cut interest rates by a half a percentage point amid signs that inflation is cooling. The decision lowers the rate to a range between 4.75% and 5%. The central bank has also projected it will lower rates by another half a point before the end of the year. The Fed's two remaining meetings are scheduled for the beginning of November and mid-December. Pennsylvania Attorney General Michelle Henry has filed a lawsuit against Digital Dream Labs Incorporated for allegedly accepting thousands of orders and payments for battery-operated robots, but providing nothing in return and not issuing refunds, scamming consumers out of at least $4 million. The Attorney General is seeking a permanent injunction against the company, full restitution for customers, and more. Futures are sharply higher after the Fed cut interest rates. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 103, the NASDAQ down 54, the S&P 500 down 16. That's Your Money Now.
It's the return of 0% financing for a very popular Volkswagen from Peakmore Imports. The 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan is now available with 0% financing for a full 60 months. The already discounted Tiguan S is now from $29,499 with a choice to finance through Volkswagen Credit at 0% for a full 5 years. But if 0% isn't your thing, take an additional $2,000 off the already discounted price for a lower sale price of $27,499. And low rates like 2.9% for 60 months are available on the 2024 family-sized Atlas. Or the choice of $3,000 in customer cash. And the Atlas Cross Sport with 2.9% for 60 months are the choice of $2,500 in customer cash. The numbers are looking better and better at Peakmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Special APR rate for qualified credit through PCI and a standalone offer not to be combined with customer cash discount. Sell price before tax, tax title, and income fees. See Peakmore for details.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. Get tips on the Blue Angels, beach time, and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Play really bad guitar. Just pretty pathetic, actually, the amount of, for how many years I've been trying to play it, but I love it. I really like Liverpool Football Club ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I've followed them, so if you're ever looking for me on a Saturday or Sunday, that's been in the mornings, that's probably what I'm doing. I'm watching it with my boys. I love getting outside. I love hiking. I just love being outdoors. I love fly fishing, actually. Really enjoy it.
That was part of the promotional / dating profile video that the city of Pensacola did for Lucky, Tim Kinsler, retired captain from the U.S. Navy, a dear friend, somebody I'm very proud to say I know relatively well. And he joins us now by phone primarily because he's about to be hired as the city of Pensacola administrator, city manager for city of Pensacola. Lucky, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. It's great to be here with you.
I think this is the first time we've had you on the air, not for lack of trying, okay, since you left being the commanding officer at AS Pensacola. I think that's correct. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Yeah.
All right, very good. So, okay, I want to dig in just a teeny tiny little bit. Guitar playing badly? Fine. Fly fishing, hang outdoors? Fine. Liverpool? Did you live in Liverpool?
No, so it's when I was a kid.
Wait. So you chose Liverpool?
Oh, hell yeah, absolutely.
That's like choosing to be. So it's like choosing to be a Phillies fan. I mean.
Stop it!
No, a guy that I worked with in England, a guy who was our cook at the bar I worked with, if you know a Liverpool fan, you will immediately know they're a Liverpool fan, and you can never forget that they were a Liverpool fan. That's like the most defining feature of their personality, right?
Well, because they'll tell you.
You're right.
That's right. Yeah.
So you adopted them?
It's like somebody told me this about a pair of cowboy boots. Cowboy boots choose you. You don't choose them. And the same with football clubs. They choose you. You don't choose them.
All right. Fair enough. I got you. Now, just for people who may not know, because we're going to talk about your job as a city, but there's a lot about you that maybe people do not know. And even I sometimes forget, and I apologize that I forget. You are a naturalized U.S. citizen, or you were born in the U.S.? I can't remember.
I was born in Griffith Park Hospital in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
In California.
And,
yes.
But you lived a long time in Ireland, and not the UK part of Ireland, not the North, but the Republic of Ireland, the South, right?
That's right. My parents were both Irish, and they met in Los Angeles. My dad had a pub there, and after they were born, they moved back to Ireland, and then I was about a year old.
Okay, and you lived there what through? How long did you live there before you came back to the U.S.?
Through high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, your parents are Irish, and he ran a pub, and that's how they met in the U.S. before they went back to Ireland. That's a great Irish story, by the way.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. my dad was in the Merchant Marine for years. He ran away from home when he was 15. He was homeless on the streets of Los Angeles. And then within a year of being there, he owned his own pub. He used to play golf with Jimmy Bishop, Peter Lawford, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. Used to drink every now and again with Frank Sinatra. It was just a different time back in Los Angeles back then.
Holy smokes, man. This is why I love talking to you and asking you the unusual question, because there's always some next story, like some additional story that I never would have imagined. That's amazing. So that's what you grew up around.
So when I was a baby, yeah, there's pictures of me with all those guys out in the
was at the golf course.
Okay, so you don't have the memory. You just have the pictures because they moved back to Ireland when you were one. Okay, I got it. Okay, very good.
That's right. Yeah.
And just for for kind of context and background, you're a Mustang, right? You enlisted and then you went to the academy later in the Navy, right?
I did. I enlisted because I wanted to go to college, and I couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford to go to college, so I joined up with the intent of trying to get money for college. And I was in submarines for 3 years, and then got accepted to the Naval Academy.
And then you went on to fly helicopters, jets. I always forget.
I did. I went on to fly helicopters, the H-46.
That's
in search and rescue.
H-46 is like that's a Sea Knight. That's a Chinook. What is that? I can't remember.
That's a Sea Knight.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. Very good. That's two rotors. Okay. So you were here. You came through Pensacola. You went to Whiting. And then you flew H-46 to Sea Rescue. Is that right? Okay.
That's right. Yeah. There's one in the museum that is actually in my logbook.
Yeah. It's a great aircraft. And then you eventually wound up working in the White House as well, right? I mean, like you had a long career, right? Before NAS Pensacola.
I did. Yeah. It was a fun career. Got to do a lot of really cool things, and I didn't work in the White House. I was in the Pentagon, but I was the White House liaison for the Secretary of the Navy.
That's wow. Okay, all the things I think are what I think of as background. Okay, and then of course at NAS Pensacola, you were the commanding officer. You shepherded the base through three massive events, as you and I have talked about many times: the terrorist attack, COVID-19, which also both of those included the base closure, and Hurricane Sally, which dealt $400-500 million worth of damage to an already not great well-maintained facility. So you've dealt with a lot of things, and I love the comment you made the other day in the press conference where you said, "You're not hiring me to handle the sunshine days. You're hiring me to handle the bad days." We'll talk about that in a second. We got Tim Kinsella, the commanding officer of NAS Pensacola, formerly with the Leadership Institute at UWF, and now the incoming city manager at Pensacola. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with that accident that happened 98 eastbound before you get to the Navarre Beach Bridge. The left lane is closed, pushing traffic to the right, and I'm starting to see some backups there. So just pack your patience with that one. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Tim Kinsella. And by the way, before we go too much further, I know that probably 80% of the people that are listening to me right now think I'm mispronouncing your name. but the story is, as I recall, you will live with either pronunciation, but it's your dad's way of saying your name, Kinsella, instead of Kinsella. Is that right?
That's right, because in Ireland, people say Kinsella. And in America, they say Kinsella. So my mother says, let's say it the American way, and my dad says, no, we're Irish, let's say it the Irish way.
Well, I've always taken the view that I will say it the way a person wants it to be said, and, you know, hence the way I say it. So thinking about the future a little bit, how did this happen? You know, I picture you in D.C. sitting around one day talking, and just somebody came up with the idea. And that's how this got hatched, as you becoming the city manager. Is that about it?
So if I could go back to when I was chair of the transition committee.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I told DC, I would love to be your chief of staff. I would love to go through this with you and help you to enact your vision. But I'm very happy at the university, and I had an obligation to the university to set up the Center for Leadership. And now that the center is set up, it's thriving, it's doing well. And it was just a conversation between us. He had a need, he hadn't filled that need. And I honestly felt a calling to do it. You know, it's like almost like a civic duty. Myself and Jen, we promised that when we settled here in Pensacola, that we would do our best to try and make a positive difference in the community. And this was a great opportunity to do that, to try and shape the future of the community where my children live.
I loved the expression that I had never thought about it this way, but in your, again, at the press conference, you made the comment that this is how you serve the city by helping empower and enact the vision of the leader that they collectively elected. I mean, I've never heard a more elegant statement of representative democracy than that. You know, that your job is to have, you know, if you want to serve the city, you serve the city by serving the city's elected representative that they put in power to shape the future. I mean, that's just it's a brilliant expression of it. So the question is, what is the job? I mean, D.C. is going to be the mayor, but what will you do? Like, I really have, I mean, I generally understand, but, for example, do the department heads report to you? Do they report to the mayor? Do they report to the mayor through you? Like, what is the actual architecture of your authority as city manager?
So if you think of it this way, there's the mayor, then there's me, and then essentially everybody else. So the all departments, the airport, the police department, the fire department, all those, they eventually, through deputy administrators, sort of flow up through me.
So you really are the top. You're the top of the chart. Well, I mean, you're the second of the top of the chart, yeah, but the chart flows through you.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially, there's there's the city attorney that has a sort of dotted line to the mayor, and then the city clerk that has a dotted line straight to the mayor. But if you think of it as me, as I'm looking inward at the city to make sure that the city operates effectively and that I enact the mayor's vision. And then the mayor, and that allows the mayor to look outwards and then think long-term, think strategically and big thoughts and listen to the citizens and do the things that a mayor is supposed to do so he's not mired in the day-to-day running of the city.
Okay. So this actually will free him up from having to have that, you know, micromanagement, maybe not the right word, but too much of his fingers in all of the pies to make sure that things are being done right. You do that, or the city manager does that, so that he can focus on big picture, building relationships, setting direction, and, you know, basically charting out the path while you drive the boat.
Absolutely. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
Well, that's a thing that you're familiar with, obviously, as doing, what you did before in the Navy with NAS Pensacola. And I know you have said that your job will, which you start September 30th, right? That's when you actually get first day on the job?
That's right.
But yeah, I'm right. Assuming that you're probably already in conversation with Amy Miller and you're probably already learning things to do. But basically, your first job is to get acclimated, right? And to learn and talk to people?
Yeah, I was asked during the press conference, what are my priorities? And my number one priority is to learn. Just to learn the people there, to learn what they do, to learn how they do it, what their priorities are, and how best I can help them.
So, I'm a little reluctant to give advice since I don't know how to run a city and I would make a terrible executive. But here's my one piece of advice that I hope you will say, yep, I know that, I'm going to do that. Your first 2 to 3 weeks in any job is the time when you most immediately see the stuff that is, what in the world are we doing this for? and then over time, you just kind of get used to it and then you stop seeing it anymore, right? But it's that very first couple of weeks where you see all the crazy. Pay attention to what's crazy so you don't forget it so you can fix it, right?
You're absolutely right. You know, I hear it all the time. People say, well, when you come into an organization and you're in a leadership position, just sit around for 6 months and don't do anything and learn about it. And I think that's kind of nonsense. You know, if you know how an organization is supposed to run, and you come in and you know things just aren't right, then you got to fix them right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, then the longer they just become embedded, and then you accept them, and then you just continue along the course of kind of mediocrity.
Yeah.
So I believe you start as you want to finish.
How did UWF take your announcement? Because you've only been doing that job for 2 years, a year, something like that?
Just almost three. Three.
Oh,
three
okay, since you left. Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so my colleagues were incredibly gracious, kind, sweet. They were really happy for me because they saw it was something that I was passionate about. And the university is it's kind of a servant of the community. So it's a natural step for me to go from there to go from here because I'm still serving the community that UWS serves.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. And then the just kind of last question I have for you is, you know, I know your wife, and I've met your kids a couple of times, but, you know, and Jen is, I mean, she's such a sweetheart, of course. You know, you did like I did. We both married up really well.
That's right.
I am assuming that since I know you to be a pretty wise man, you would never do anything that your wife's not fully on board with. She's fully on board with this and happy with the decision?
Yeah, we talked a lot about it, and I'm so very lucky to have, she's my best friend. She's my life partner. She's my soulmate. We don't do anything unless we're in full agreement together. So yes, absolutely. She supports it.
That's great. Well, any final thoughts? I mean, we're done, but any final thoughts you have for people as they're kind of, I mean, they probably already know you a lot as the former base commander. And you know, they may have heard some things and, you know, you are one of those people, and I'll say it, that, you know, the city council doesn't have to ratify your appointment, but if they did, the vote for a 7-person council would be 23-0. you know, people would be voting with both hands and a foot, because I know everybody's very excited about this acquisition. But any last thoughts from you, Tim?
Yeah, this is actually a challenge for you, and I know you're going to do this anyway. The most important thing that government can do, I think, is accountability to its citizens. And transparency, and that accountability has to be done through transparency. So you, as a friend and as one of the best news radio hosts in the country, is to hold me accountable. And I promise that I will do my best to articulate to you whatever your questions are, whatever the issues are.
Be careful what you wish for, but it's the eternal basic paradox that bad people don't want you to ask them too many questions, and the best people, you feel like, why am I bothering? I will do my best, even though I think it, you know, you're least likely to need it. Tim Kinsler, the new city manager for the city of Pensacola. Tim, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for doing this, for serving the community, continue to serve the community, for all your service to the country, sir. I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
Absolutely. 656 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic for us.
Still dealing with that accident on 98 eastbound at Coral Street. The left lane is still closed, pushing traffic to the right, but we're starting to see some major delays there. So just pack your patience with that one. I'd say 5 to 10 minutes. I-10 eastbound, you're right around Highway 29 through that construction zone, is starting to see some major delays, also backing up almost to Pine Forest. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With 4 Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1640.
6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, at least 20 people dead, hundreds injured after walkie-talkies exploded in Lebanon yesterday. That's just a day after all the pagers belonging to Hezbollah members exploded, killed a dozen people on Tuesday. Officials say Israel is responsible for the attack, but so far they haven't officially
All right,
claimed.
Everybody get rid of your pagers. We're going to switch to the super safe walkie-talkie.
Listen on air at 92.3.